After a lifetime of researching the dynamic and enigmatic world of light entertainment, I've decided to ditch my notebook and meet the people who inspire me. What makes them the people they are? How do they feel about the show business landscape in which they find themselves? And in a world where anyone can be a star, is there still a need for performers who have universal appeal? Come with me on a journey of discovery as I get a unique insight into Britain's favourite stars with a little help from my glamorous assistants. Yeah, well, I say glamorous, more like hazardous. And of course, we'll have a bit of fun along the way.
In 2017, decorated Latin and ballroom world champion Shirley Ballas came to national prominence when she was unveiled as the new head judge on the BBC's heavyweight Strictly Come Dancing, replacing the outgoing Len Goodman. Retiring from competitive dance in 1996, Shirley established her own dance school and now coaches up-and-coming dancers. I was interested to hear her story of her rise to fame and how she brought the sparkle back to Saturday nights. Ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Ballas. We'll get onto your dance credentials in a bit, but firstly, 2017 was quite a year for you. How would you sum it up?
Well, I got a job that I wasn't expecting to get, and then when I got the job, you know, my son pushed me to go towards getting the job. And when I got that job, a woman in her 50s, it was absolutely spectacular, and the run on Strictly was just overwhelmingly fabulous.
What was your first thought when you were offered Strictly? How daunting was it replacing the hugely popular Len Goodman?
When I first got the job on Strictly, just ran through my mind that, you know, this is quite a magnificent achievement. And I've known Len all my life, all my dancing career I've known Len. So I didn't ever try to fill his shoes, because you can't, because he's iconic, because he's a master, because he is Len. So I just tried to put my little slippers next to his slippers underneath the counter and just fill my own shoes and do the best that I could for myself for the job.
And starting dance classes at the age of 7, did you always know that you were destined to make waves in your industry?
Well, I never knew that at 7. All I knew at 7 was I loved music. I loved the cha-cha-cha and the waltz. And I just loved dancing. I never missed it. I didn't want to be away from it morning, noon and night, Saturdays, Sundays and holidays. I wanted to do that.
Now, you're a 3-time British Open champion, World Latin American champion, 10-time United States Latin American champion. How do you quantify your success?
Well, first of all, from my mother, I learned amazing work ethic. So everything I've done, from winning Teacher of the Year to awards to this and that, is all down to work ethic. So people always say you're a little bit lucky, but I think that you make your own luck through your dedication and your work ethic and everything else that you put in it. I just loved it, so I wanted to just be the best at whatever I could be the best at, and that was dancing, I felt.
Mm, absolutely.
I never had any grand illusions of myself, ever. I was never one who thought, oh, you've won this or you've won that or you're great or this. No, every day for me was an uphill battle. I just felt like I must continue to work hard. If I've won this, I want to strive for that. So I just kept a day-to-day pace of myself and never, ever, ever got above my station when it came to dancing.
No, just hard work and determination day after day.
Dedication, hard work, great work ethic. You know, when somebody throws a lemon, you make lemonade. You know, because it is sometimes 4 steps back and 1 step forward. It's not always easy, you know, nothing's easy. So there's always bumps in the road wherever you're coming from or whatever you do. And when those bumps came and I used to think, gosh, this is a difficult hill to climb, my mother would be there as a single mother pushing me and saying, and this too will pass, Shirley, keep going. Never give up. If that's your dream, don't give up.
What's it like being in that world of competition?
Ooh, that world of competition is a difficult world to be in. I mean, as a young girl, I had lots of people pass through my life that were amazing dancers. But I think at the end of the day, competition comes down to your mind. So if you have the right mindset and you can overcome fear and if you can overcome loss, you know, like winning is great, but losing is where I learned the most lessons. So but it's competitive, and I was very competitive with myself, not so much with other people. Like I said, and competitive industry is always difficult. Doesn't matter if you work in a bank, doesn't matter if you're trying to get the next job forward, or it doesn't matter if Josh is trying to get the next interview, if you like. At every step forward, it takes a strong character and to keep going when all else fails, really.
Now, how difficult was it making the decision to retire from competitive dance in 1996?
Not difficult at all, because I'd had such a great run, and I had a little boy who'd been obviously born into the industry when I was 25, and I retired at 26. He was 11. And when I retired, he tugged on my little skirt at Blackpool as they were giving us this big farewell hoo-hoo. He said, "Mummy, I want to dance seriously." I said, "No, you don't, Mark. No, you don't." "Yes, I do, Mummy. Yes, I do." "No, you don't. No, you don't." And then he picked up where I left off, really. But I was ready. At 36, I knew I was ready. And anybody in any sport, my advice, never let somebody else tell you you're ready to retire. I think your heart tells you when you're in this industry or any industry. And I think that you find a place where you think, okay, I've had my run, I've had enough, now it's time to change lanes and do, you know, something else within the industry. And I was very happy to retire. I never had a sad moment. I had a great run. I cherished every single moment of being in the industry with all my friends and everything. So,
after retirement, you established your own dance school. What's the thrill of coaching for you?
Well, I rented floor space. I actually had my own dance studio when I was first married to Sammy Stopford. So that's when I had my first dance studio. Come in, Auntie Barbara. So that's when I owned a studio in Manchester with Sammy Stopford. When I was with Corky, we rented floor space at the Starlight Ballroom in Streatham, along with Marcus and Karen Hilton, MBE, and, you know, some other great names in that studio, Bill and Bobby Irvin. So we were freelance, if you like, it's the best way to put it. Once I'd owned that studio with Sammy, after that, I decided I didn't want to own another studio. Now, that was hard work, owning a studio. Actually, it was in Fitzroy Street in Manchester, I remember, and it was next to the Jam Factory. Thank you for bringing that recall memory for me.
Now, you were recently on BBC One's Who Do You Think You Are? Now, what did you learn about yourself on that show?
I learned that I come from an immensely strong background of females, all the way down my great-great-great-great-grandmother on my dad's side and my mother's grandmother. So it was just the most magnificent journey, and to have so much culture inside and to come the roots from South Africa as far back as we could go was spectacular. It was I suggest everybody tries to look up their heritage. It was very interesting.
Fantastic. Now, looking back at your career, what's your proudest achievement?
When I gave birth to my son in the middle of my career at 25, when everybody said, "Well, I think now you should, you know, just have your baby and be a mum." And Corky and I decided we were, you know, because I won in 83 with Sammy. I came back in 1984 with Corky, and we made the 96. So, you know, from winning one year to going right back to the 96 in the world was very, very difficult. You know, I stood on the edge of the floor and I thought, you know what, I'm going to get back there one day. And it took till 1995 to win again, but we managed to get in the final in 1990. So that shows you that I started from nothing. I went from scratch. I had this meteoric rise with Sammy Stopford. I went right back down to the back of the queue with Corky. And then Corky and I did this meteoric rise all the way back to the top. Which is very unusual in this industry. So I actually won it twice with two different partners.
And I think that speaks volumes about what we were saying before, you know, about that hard work ethic and the determination.
Oh, it's a character. I mean, I won't mention names, but there were actual people in this industry I was close to and said, "You chose to leave this country, Shirley. You chose to go to America. You won't pick up any support. Why are you bothering?" I actually had a top professional tell me that. "You'll be a wallflower." And that drove me. That drove me to see if I could get back in the semi-final. And once I got in the 24 and then the semi-final, I thought, if I can do this, I can go all the way with Corky. So, you know, a little planning, really strategizing, understanding the industry, understanding human nature, and understanding ego. is all the things that help me get back in that final in this industry.
And finally, what's next for Shirley Ballas?
Well, we're just about to have the run now on Strictly, which I'm extremely excited about. The cast looks phenomenal. It looks diverse and entertaining and just phenomenal cast. We've got some new professionals coming on the show. I'm just very, very excited for this run. And then, of course, I'm going to do pantomime. So I'll do that at the end of the year. And I've been busy, you know, perhaps writing maybe a book and have some different projects with my son and his wife. So I'm excited. I've got some things coming up quite nice.
That's fantastic. That's it. We really appreciate your time today, Shirley. Thank you very much.
I just want to say to all the boys and girls out there, you know, because I come from a housing estate, to everybody who ever thinks that a dream can't come true and that you need money to do it and backing to do it, it's not true. Like I say, if you have a passion, if you have a dream, don't give up on the dream. And if you've got just your parents to back you up, or a mom or a dad, and you can go forth, I believe that you can conquer the world. So I just want to say that to people out there.
That's fantastic. That's lovely. Thank you very much to our guest for being the subject of another Beyond the Title interview. If you like this, why not browse the website and see if there's anything else that takes your fancy? Don't forget to like our Facebook page to receive updates on forthcoming interviews and to see more information about me and what I do. Thanks again, and hopefully see you next time for another Beyond the Title interview.